Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, October the 20th. An absolutely beautiful day here in Texas, you know, or North Texas, I should say. We had rain for, I'm going to guess, the entire week, but today it's just absolutely beautiful. So let's hope we have a few more of these coming up here over the next few days. Well, what can I tell you? It's the baseball season, and I've got a couple of thoughts tonight about something that is happening to postseason baseball games that I don't like. They're getting too long. I just don't know how else to say it, but these baseball games are getting way too long, and I think it's a bad idea for the television as well as the fans who've got to put up with these 4.5-hour games. And look, I love the game. I love baseball. I'm a huge baseball fan. But even I have trouble keeping up with a 4.5-hour baseball game. The politics of the caravan, we're going to talk a little bit about that because, let's face it, there is a political angle to this that cannot be overlooked as well. And we begin, though, with some interesting information about what is happening in the midterms. If you've been following the midterms, there's been a conventional wisdom that the Democrats are going to have a great day, and they may very well do. I mean, I think it's up in the air right now, so let's not get cocky either way. I mean, you could have a very good day for the Democrats. But what is also happening is that the Republicans are making quite a comeback. And you may have a situation on Election Day. And, of course, here in Texas, by the way, we're going to be voting early. So I'm going to vote next week and get it out of the way next week. I have been voting early since 1988. I have not voted on Election Day since 1988 for any election. I just kind of like the idea of voting early. It's kind of convenient. Get it out of the way. You don't have to make the lines on Election Day, but clearly there is a Republican resurgence out there. There is a Republican reawakening, whatever you want to call it. And what could very well happen on Election Day is that you could have a battle of the waves. You could have this blue wave versus this red wave. And I guess it comes down to what wave more people show up, I guess, on one side or the other. I mean, it's kind of obvious that the guy with more votes wins, but in this case, it could very well be all about turnout. What side turns out more people? I would say 2 months ago, 3 months ago, a month ago, the conventional wisdom was that the Democrats were going to have a heavy turnout. You could hear it in their voices. You could hear it in everything. You could hear it in the coverage in the media. It was going to be a big turnout for the Democrats. But since Kavanaugh, and frankly, and I have to give President Trump a lot of credit here, since he's gotten so involved in these elections, I mean, going out to state after state, I mean, the guy is out there practically every day campaigning. I don't know where he gets the energy. It's amazing to me where this guy gets the energy. I mean, he's 72, isn't he? 72, 73 years old. I mean, this is a guy with an amazing amount of energy for his age. But anyway, he's out there campaigning. He's generating some amazing crowds. And there's no question that he is energizing the base and energizing the turnout. So what happens on Election Day, we will find out. But there's no question right now that the Republican side is very energized as well. So you're going to have, as I said, the battle of the waves. And we'll see what wave comes in stronger than the other. But it is going to be, I think, a high turnout election for a midterm. You know, normally on midterms, you get a third of the registered voters show up. I mean, it's remarkable. Here in Texas, for example, in 2014, the last time we had a midterm, 14 million people had registered to vote. We had 14 million registered voters, and something like 5 million showed up to vote. So that's the standard for midterms. Very few people turn out. That's why they always say the party energized is the one who flips a midterm election. But this year, I'm beginning to think that maybe the turnout is going to be above average for a midterm, certainly on the Republican side. I am very confident the Republican side that the midterms are going to be are going to be pretty incredible. Whether that's enough to hold on to the House, I guess we'll just have to wait till Election Day. But I think it will be enough to pick up some Senate seats. And I stick to my prediction that the Republicans will pick up 3 to 5 Senate seats on Election Day. The House is different because you've got all these districts, and it's just different. It's a different animal. But if you have a big wave that picks up 3 or 5 Senate seats for the Republicans, one would think that a similar wave would help out, or at least would help the Republicans hold on to the House. Maybe that's too logical, but that makes sense to me. So we'll keep an eye. We're going to keep an eye on the midterm elections. We'll be chatting with our friend Barry Castleman, who keeps track of all of this on a daily basis. We're going to be chatting with him later in the week as we get closer to Election Day. The politics of the caravan. Right now, the caravan is literally at the Mexico-Guatemala border. The Mexican police is holding it right there. There was a confrontation, but I think they've taken control of the situation. Mexico, from what I understand, is reinforcing their position. So they're holding the caravan back in Guatemala. But there is clearly a political angle to this up here. Obviously, there's a political angle to it up here, because this is coming at a time when, just a few days ago, before the caravan, we were hearing from Democrats that their consultants were telling them not to talk about immigration. Their consultants were basically saying, don't talk about immigration. Don't talk about immigration. Just avoid it. Don't talk about it. So what happens? You have a caravan like this, 2 weeks before the election, and puts immigration right on the front pages. So I think this is great news for President Trump and those of us who believe that immigration has to be legal and orderly. Look, I'm an immigrant. I came here as a kid to the United States. I think immigration is great for the United States, but it has to be legal. It has to be orderly. You just can't have people coming in and crossing a border. That is simply chaotic and creates more problems than it's worth. So I think President Trump is looking good after this, thanks to Mexico for cooperating. But politically, this is wonderful news for President Trump. I just don't know what else to tell you. This is fabulous news for President Trump, and I think he's going to benefit quite a bit politically, as well as many Democrats. And what I find interesting about this caravan, I don't hear a lot of Democrats defending it. I hear a lot of Democrats basically hiding away from the immigration issue, just like their consultants are telling them. But you cannot hide away from the immigration issue when you've got a caravan like this. You got to take a position on it. And you just can't say, well, you know, let's offer them asylum. Well, you can't just offer 4,000 people asylum, because the next day there's going to be another 4,000. So there's got to be a solution to this. And the solution is for these people to stay home and try to figure out what's happening in their country. Not everybody can come here. Now, I know a lot of you are going to say, but you came here from Cuba. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. But that was we were political refugees, which is different than what these people are. And we came here in an orderly fashion, and it was the policy of the United States to let us in. So it's a totally different situation than what we're seeing now with these with this caravan in Central America. So far, so good. But the political angle of this is absolutely fantastic for President Trump. I just don't know how else to tell you. Let me take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes. Right back.
This is Carlos Geddes Harpist. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' website right there on the show information. Under the show description, you'll see where it says Carlos' schedule, Carlos Geddes' schedule. You can check on that and get the latest update. I also want to tell you, we have a new friend to our show here, Duke Machado, who's a friend of mine down in Central Texas. He's a car dealer. So if you're looking for a car, click on that particular link. and it'll take you to his car dealer. He's a good man. He's a good man. I met him several years ago on political events, and he's a really good guy, and he's in Central Texas, Duke Machado. Check him out. I think you're going to get a good deal. Now, he tells me that if you mention my name, he's going to treat you like a friend, like a good friend. Okay, that's better. Not just like a friend. He's always friendly, but I'm just saying like a really good friend. So mention my name and maybe you'll get a little discount. I don't know. I don't want to put Duke under any pressure, but he's a great guy. He's a great guy. He'll take care of you. That's all I can tell you. Well, I was talking about baseball games a few minutes ago at the start of the show. Look, I think there's something going on with postseason baseball. I should add that I'm a huge baseball fan. I've been a huge baseball fan from when I was a kid. It was a sport that I grew up loving and playing. So I'm a huge baseball fan, and nothing is more exciting in any sport, really, than the postseason. But there's something happening. There's something happening to the pace of these postseason games, and they've gotten very slow. I mean, they used to play these games in 2 to 3 hours, which is a normal time for a baseball game. But now these games are going between 3.5, 4 hours. Some of these games are going over 4 hours, 4.5 hours, and I just think it's way too long. And where I think it really hurts the game, it hurts in the pocketbook, because I'm sure there's a lot of people, particularly in the Eastern time zone, who just can't stay up for these games. And if you're watching a four-hour game that starts at 8 o'clock in New York, it's midnight by the time the game's over. So you're going to turn off the channel as soon as the game's over. You're not going to watch the post-game show, which is a big part of what the advertisers pay for. So the commissioner is going to have to do something about the pace of these games. I have a post coming on Sunday about this. And one of the things that I recommend is they've got to cut down the amount of time between pitches. Now, in the regular season, you know, they have a better pace. But in the postseason, it seems like everybody's thinking way too much about the pitch, and the batter is taking too much time to think about the what the pitch is going to be and so on. And they've got to cut this down. The umpire is going to have to take over and say, get in the box and say to the pitcher, pitch the ball. You know, you just cannot have these delays of almost half a minute between pitches, because this is how you get 4.5 hour baseball games, and it's not a fun thing to watch. I mean, let's face it, it's not a fun thing to watch, and pretty soon this is going to hurt in the pocketbook, to say the least. Speaking of baseball, we say happy number 81 to Juan Marichal. Now, there's a man who was a great pitcher, Hall of Fame pitcher. There's a man who didn't have any trouble pitching two-hour baseball games. That's because Juan Marichal, he got the ball, and he said, here it comes. Here comes the ball. Hit it. And this is a man who could throw shutouts. He could throw lots and lots of games. But, you know, he didn't have any trouble pitching them in a fairly quick time. We also remember Mickey Mantle, the great kid from Oklahoma, who was born on this day in 1931, one of the all-time great Major League players, of course. He died in 1995. He's buried here in Dallas. I don't think a lot of people realize that. His funeral was right here in Dallas, where he lived, I think, for much of the last 5 to 10 years of his life. And it was on this day in 1803 that the Louisiana Purchase was ratified by the U.S. Senate. President Jefferson negotiated the purchase with Napoleon. At the time, Napoleon, it was an interesting situation. Napoleon needed money, and the United States needed territory. And the United States, what President Jefferson was really interested in was having access or control of the Mississippi, because he understood that if you controlled the Mississippi River, you controlled North America. So that's what he was really looking for, the Mississippi River, having, you know, the control of the Mississippi River from the Gulf all the way up to Canada or to the Great Lakes. And that's all we got, really, out of the Louisiana Purchase. We got control of the Mississippi River and pretty much everything around that. But the Senate ratified it today, on this day in 1803. And if you see the map before the purchase and after the purchase, it's amazing. It doubled the size of the country. I mean, it was just an absolutely, absolutely incredible addition of land. Well, thank you for listening, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Again, an absolutely lovely day. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. And I'm going to say, go Milwaukee. They play later tonight. Go Milwaukee. That's who I'm cheering for today. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.